As we go to God's Word for this message on this Father's Day Sunday, I invite you to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, beginning at verse 23 through 26. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. This morning, Mount Olivet and friends, I want to share from the subject, fathers are an extension of God's hands. Fathers are an extension of God's hands. Hands. We use them in nearly all we do, from holding another's in love and support to cradling a baby. We use them to wash dishes and to write words. We use them to clap and show appreciation and to eat. God created our hands to do things, but also do work to advance the kingdom. God apparently thinks hands are pretty important, as the word hand appears 1,466 times in the Bible, and the plural word hands appears 462 times. Understand this morning, fathers, you are an extension of God's hands. Know that God wants you to use your hands to advance the kingdom of God. And one of the ways you can do this is to use your hands to raise godly children. This is the ideal. But unfortunately, the real is that across the world, relationships with our fathers can be complicated. Some had great relationship with their fathers, others did not. Some of us had fathers who was at every practice, and some had fathers who weren't. Some have fathers who are alive, others have fathers who are deceased. Some knew who their fathers are, others do not. Some of us has had an uncle, a grandfather, or a big brother that filled the void of an absent father. Some of us remember how our father's hand comforted us, instructed us, and protected us. This might not be true of every father, but let me encourage you today by this. All of us have a hand we can hold on to. It is the hand of God. We can remember the words of the psalmist when he writes, "If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." This morning I want us to consider our message. Fathers, you are an extension of God's hands. And as we listen to the message, I would like to make several comparisons between our Father in heaven and the fathers God has given us here on earth. For in truth, our earthly father is to be an exact portrait or image of our heavenly father, since he is in the image and glory of God. The first thing that grabs our attention in this text is to understand that a father's hand provides comfort. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his children." Can you imagine anything more comforting to a little boy, a little girl, than to have a father place his hand on their head, give them a little pat, and say, "Listen, everything is going to be all right." There is something gentle and yet strong and reassuring about a father's hand, that special touch that brings comfort. Consider with me for a moment. Stop for a minute and let your mind wander back over the years. Think about those wonderful, warm experiences with your dad, that special relationship you had with him, those gentle times of reassurance and comfort. He was just there when you needed him. Now, I know not all of us can recall the best stories. Not everyone had a comforting relationship with their father. But for those who did, doesn't it bring you a tremendous feeling of cheer when you recall the touch of your father's hands? In some way, even the memories of the past seem to make a dark day turn bright. As a little boy, I remember my dad would get off work late on a Friday, and he would pick up fried clams, and we would eat and watch wrestling or horse racing to the wee hours of the morning. I think it's good for us to remember those days when a father's hand brought comfort. I also happen to believe it's a good thing to remember those days about our Heavenly Father. All too often, we tend to forget God's hand in our lives, those past experiences that brought comfort and help in time of need. When things are going wrong and life is a little tough, we need to remember. I don't know about you, but it helps me a lot to recall all the times God was there for me, extending that hand of comfort, saying, "It's okay, son, it's gonna be okay, everything will be all right." The psalmist said in Psalm 143:5, "I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done." And I'm glad my Heavenly Father is not just a father of the past, but is here for me today. That same reassuring hand guides me through every hour. It was the year 1872 when Annie Hawks wrote a favorite hymn entitled, "I Need Thee Every Hour." "I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art now." Could it be that I am speaking to someone here this morning who needs the touch of God on their lives, that comforting hand on their shoulder? Let me encourage you to use the moment of this day, this hour, to rest in Him. His help is ever available, not just for yesterday, but for this day. Psalm 91:15 writes, "He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." A father's hand provides comfort. But secondly, a father's hand provides instruction. When we come into this world, we come into it with zero knowledge. Once we are born, we immediately begin to learn and grow. We are influenced by our surroundings, and most of all, we learn from our parents. This is where we need a guiding hand, a hand of instruction. What kind of things should our fathers teach us? They should teach us to love God. Dads, you can't do any better than to teach your child how to love God. More important than anything else your child will ever learn from you is what you teach him about the loving Lord. Deuteronomy 6:5-7. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." C.S. Lewis, the Christian author, wrote, "A man's spiritual health is exactly proportional to his love for God." Fathers, not only must you teach your children to love God, but you must teach them how to trust God. Listen, as you walk along life's highway, hand in hand with your son or daughter, you will be confronted with many problems, things that will challenge your faith. There will be challenges in the area of finances, relationships, health, work, or calamities. These are things your children have never experienced before. They won't know what to do, but I can tell you this, they will be watching you. They will want to see how you handle each crisis in your life. Father, show them what to do. Show them how to trust God. Help them to know that God rewards faith and that He will never let us down. Here's what God said in Psalm 78:3-4 about teaching our children the lessons of faith. These are things which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. I came across a story about the faith of a child, a story about a little boy who had learned that it's okay when things don't turn out the way we think they should. It is a story of simply trusting God and leaving the end result to him. This story resonated with me because I remember as a Cub Scout getting my derby kit containing a block of pine wood, plastic wheels, and metal axles. Derek was an 8-year-old boy and a proud member of the Cub Scouts. Derek had entered his little car into the National Soapbox Derby. The day came for the race. Derek had made the car by himself. It looked a little lopsided, but it looked great to him. He had not seen any of the other kids' cars and was feeling pretty proud of his Blue Lightning. The pride that comes with knowing you did something on your own. Then the day came with his blue pine car and pride in his heart. They headed to the big race. Once there, Derek's pride turned to humility. All the other cars had cool paint jobs and sleek body styles made for speed. A few of the boys giggled as they looked at Derek's lopsided, wobbly, unattractive vehicle. As the race began, it was done in elimination fashion. You kept racing as long as you were the winner. One by one, the cars raced down the ramp. Finally, it was between Derek and the sleekest, fastest-looking car there. As the last race was about to begin, Derek asked if they could stop the race for a minute because he wanted to pray. The race stopped. Derek hit his knees and began to talk to God. He prayed in earnest for a very long minute and a half. Then he stood, smile on his face, and announced, "Okay, I'm ready." As the crowd cheered, two cars were neck and neck. The one belonged to a boy named Tommy. His car was fast and sleek. The other car was Derek's. Derek's car wobbled down the ramp with surprisingly great speed and rushed over the finish line a fraction of a second before Tommy's car. Derek leaped into the air with a loud "thank you" as the crowd roared in approval. The scoutmaster came up to Derek with microphone in hand and asked the obvious question, "So you prayed to win, huh, Derek?" To which Derek answered, "Oh, no, sir. That wouldn't be fair to ask God to help you beat someone. I just asked him to make it so I don't cry when I lose." Children seem to have wisdom far beyond us. Derek did not ask God to win the race. He didn't ask God to fix the outcome. Derek asked God to give him strength in the outcome. When he first saw the other cars, he didn't cry out to God, "No fair." No, he went to God for strength. And perhaps you and I spend too much of our prayer time asking God to rig the race, to make us number one, or to too much time asking God to remove us from the struggle when we should be seeking God's strength to get us through the struggle. Derek's simple prayer spoke volume to those present that night. He never doubted that God would indeed answer his request. He didn't pray to win, thus hurt someone else. He prayed that God would supply the grace to lose with dignity. Derek, by his stopping the race to speak to God, showed his tremendous faith and trust in God. He knew that God was there with him all the time. Yes, Derek walked away a winner that night. A father's hand is a hand of instruction, teaching their child how to love God and how to trust God, living by faith regardless of the outcome. Psalm 16 and 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. A father's hand provides comfort. A father's hand provides instruction. But finally, a father's hands provide protection. His hand is a strong hand. When I was going to elementary school in New Jersey, we walked to school. I didn't know that yellow school buses were real until I moved to Virginia. So as my sister and I and a few friends walked to school, we would pass this house that had one of the biggest dogs I had ever seen. I believe it was a Great Dane. And you can imagine how even bigger it looked to a little boy and little girl. One day, the dog got loose and chased after us. That night, we told our dad. The next morning, he walked with us to school. We pointed out the house. My dad went to the door and looked like he was talking to someone. All I know is that from that day forward, I don't remember seeing that dog when we walked to school. My dad provided protection. And here's how I want to apply that thought. God's hands are stronger. The Bible says they are mighty to save. And I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, everyone needs God's saving power. The world is a pretty scary place. And I believe we all can agree about that. There's danger out there. We are witnessing open violence in the streets. There are the seeming daily stories of kidnapping and the tragic abuse of children. Crimes abound on every corner. War is taking place around the world. We have a president that calls peaceful protesters thugs and has them forcibly removed so he can have a photo op in front of a church holding a Bible. A president who believes we should slow down testing for the coronavirus so the numbers favor him in his reelection campaign. A vice president that, when asked several times, do Black Lives Matter, responded by toting the party line by simply saying, all lives matter. It seems no one is safe anymore. People want to feel safe. However, I can tell you there is a greater danger than anything I've mentioned. It is the danger of unforgiving sin and its consequences. To be on the outside of God's saving grace is more serious than we can imagine. To be out of the protecting and saving hand of God is not a good thing. John 3 and 36 writes, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Can I ask you, are you in the hands of God this morning? Do you know the safety of his strong hands, his saving hand? Because his hand is a secure hand. There are usually two questions that surround eternal security. Can we know we are saved for certain? And can we know we are saved forever? The answer to both of these questions is yes. Our earthly fathers have strong hands. They have safe hands, but our earthly fathers cannot always guarantee our safety because they are human. However, it is different with God. Here's what he said. I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. If you are not safe and secure in the hands of Jesus this morning, let me invite you to come and place your faith in him. He is mighty to save. And his saving power is able to keep you throughout eternity. Jude writes, now unto him that is able to keep you and I from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Fathers, you are an extension of God's hands. Christian fathers, we thank you. We thank you for so many things. We thank you for your steadfastness to the word of God. You are worthy of emulation. We thank you for your temperate encouragement. Your patience is appreciated. We thank you for your courage under fire. Follow God. He will always get it right. We thank you for your godly wisdom and godly application. Your bravery does not go unnoticed. You are a reflection of all that is good and all that is God. Your value is far above the income that you earn, far beyond the home you provide, far beyond the possessions you purchase. You are God's family anchor. You aim us in the right direction. You link us with our Heavenly Father. You inspire us to become living sacrifices. You help us understand true devotion to God. You teach us to live holy and Christ-like. You provide comfort. You provide instruction. And you provide protection. And for that, we thank God for you. On this Father's Day, let us all make certain that our hands are in the hands of our Heavenly Father. Happy Father's Day. May God continue to bless the fathers of Mount Olivet and the fathers all around the world.